Thursday, January 18th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Well, as yet another impending government shutdown is drawing attention, as if that would be a bad thing, Trump literally says we need military funding now more than ever, with no hint of irony, as the U.S. spends more on its military than the next eight countries combined. And it is this bloated military budget that in part creates this self-perpetuating problem. The media ignores the fact that the FBI is investigating mishandled millions of the Clinton Foundation and the Australian government, that Tillerson is once again overtly calling for Assad to be removed as Syrian president. ISIS is caught transporting millions in Red Cross trucks, and it is finally, if not accidentally, revealed that there is more than one suspect in the Vegas shooting. So let's get into it. Starting from yesterday, coming out of the antimedia.org, Sony has patented a blink-powered contact lens that records what you see. And this is something I want to touch on real quickly to start, because I love touching on these really odd inventions and technological advances that, for me, I always point out that the fact that this is being announced and addressed today means that it's probably been in use for a long time by the intelligence community. And this is something that's probably been used by the government in a lot of different ways. But to really think about the idea that this is something that can be used in the eye that nobody can see and record things, it's just very unnerving. Ultimately, it says that this is something that can be activated and deactivated by a blink, but yet the technology is able to detect whether it's an intentional or unintentional blink. Very interesting. But just think about the implications there and the kind of things, if this is in play, think about what else is in play. Very, very unnerving. Moving on to the next story coming out of ZeroHedge.com, FBI investigates millions of mishandled dollars funneled from Australian government to the Clinton Foundation. The FBI has asked retired Australian policeman turned investigative journalist Michael Smith to provide information he has gathered detailing multiple allegations of the Clinton Foundation receiving tens of millions of mishandled taxpayer funds. Of note, the Clinton Foundation received some $88 million from Australian taxpayers between 2006 and 2014, reaching its peak in 2012 to 2013, which was coincidentally, we're sure, Australian Prime Minister Julia Gillard's last year in office. This is a very interesting story that continues to pile on top of the Clinton information. This is one we recommend you all dig into a little deeper. And really, for me, this is just one more of many provable crimes connecting back to the Clinton Foundation and Hillary Clinton herself. So the real question here is that as these continue to come out, will they actually be held accountable? Will we actually see charges brought against them with all of these many different things that we can now prove have actually taken place? I really don't think so, but man, I hope it really happens. So continue to dig, and we'll come back to this story when more develops. Moving on to the next story coming out of the globalresearch.ca, breaking, Tillerson unveils new U.S.-Syrian plan, Assad must go, confirming that the U.S. military presence inside Syria had little to do with fighting ISIS. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson unveiled in detail today the real U.S. strategy for Syria, overthrow the Assad government. In a speech at Stanford University's Hoover Institution and introduced by President George W. Bush's Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, Secretary Tillerson vowed that the United States military would continue to occupy Syrian territory until three conditions were met. First, ISIS must be destroyed. Now, this condition is made all the more problematic by the well-reported fact that the United States government at every turn seems to pull ISIS chestnuts out of the fire, from handing them weapons to allowing them to escape when they are trapped in places like Raqqa. It almost seems like the U.S. doesn't want to really see the end of ISIS. And also should be pointed out that essentially we've kind of announced that the ISIS has been destroyed in Syria and everyone seems to be backing out. Now all of a sudden this comes up back out of nowhere. Their second demand, Assad must go. Not very surprising when we know that we have a lot of documentation that shows that this has been the plan all along. Whether you're talking about Israel being involved in their plan with Golan Heights, or you know, resources in general, or just kind of the collective of Western powers that have been aiming to remove Assad and carry out regime change in Syria that really has nothing to do with ISIS. Not to mention the fact that the Western powers have been funding, training, and you know, pretty much doing everything they can to help ISIS throughout this entire process. The third, refugees must be returned to Syria, which is interesting. It's wildly convoluted and really kind of seems to contradict much of what's been said and feigned in recent months. I mean, talk about human rights abusers. I mean, this is something that, you know, first of all, to kind of highlight the contradicting narrative here. So if they're claiming Assad is some kind of a terrible person, that they're saying the refugees should be going back to that country, that seems kind of disjointed. Clearly they're probably saying that once all of this is carried out, then we're going to shove all of the refugees back into their country. It seems ridiculous. And really, we have to point out the real fact that all of these refugees are where they are today due in large part to Western actions and interventionalism. So this is something that we need to continue to point out and really address the absurdity of the back and forth nature of the rhetoric around Syria and the United States government. Moving on to stories from today, watch as ISIS and al-Nusra smuggle money into Syria using vehicles with Red Cross logos. Another story coming out of globalresearch.ca, a video has been uploaded of huge amounts of cash that was smuggled into Syria for ISIS and the al-Qaeda-affiliated al-Nusra Front using Red Cross logos on the boxes the money was stored in. The money was smuggled in from Turkey with vehicles with the same famous Red Cross logos. In response to the video, the official Twitter account of the International Committee of the Red Cross stated, quote, "We have nothing whatsoever to do with the transactions alleged in this video. A fake ICRC logo has been used for the purposes of transporting funds. Our emblems stand for neutral and impartial aid, and misuse may have a serious impact on ability to reach those in need," end quote. The ICRC has played a neutral role in the Syrian war, providing aid all throughout Syria where they are able to operate. This is in stark contrast to the famous white helmets who only operate in al-Nusra-controlled areas and claim impartiality despite many of their members found to be jihadist fighters. Now, there's a lot of information surrounding this story. This was something that was tweeted out a few days ago by some very in-depth researchers. But there's also something to be said about the real intentions behind Red Cross and whether they've actually helped people in the past. Their impartiality at this point is hard to deny, but there is some very interesting, whether you're talking about foreign or domestic, there's lots of aspects where they seem to really overtly fail at what they're trying to accomplish, with a lot of money being floated around that doesn't really seem to go where it needs to go. So this is an interesting story. I'm going to continue to follow this and see what develops, but it would not surprise me if this was somehow involving this group and Western powers in general. I mean, like we just talked about a second ago with the involvement of Israel and the United States government with ISIS in general, and now they're transporting money. I mean, we saw the old story with the Toyota trucks and them transferring and them being, there's a lot of information flying out of this, and we're now seeing that they're using Red Cross trucks to transfer all of this money. Something's fishy here. So we'll continue to keep track of this and let you know what's going on. Next story, again, coming out of globalresearch.ca, Facebook and Google outline unprecedented mass censorship at U.S. Senate hearing. The character of this apparatus was detailed in testimony Wednesday from representatives of Facebook, Twitter, and Google's YouTube before the United States Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation, chaired by South Dakota Republican John Thune. The hearing was called to review what technology companies are doing to shut down the communications of oppositional political organizations. It represented a significant escalation of the campaign, supported by both Democrats and Republicans, to establish unprecedented levels of censorship and control over the internet. Armed with increasingly powerful artificial intelligence systems, which is something WikiLeaks has warned about quite frequently, these technology companies are free to remove and block the communications of their users at the behest of the government, in a seamless alliance between Silicon Valley and the major U.S. spy agencies. Lawmakers were told that Facebook now employs a security team of 10,000 people, 7,500 of whom assess potentially violating content, and that, quote, by the end of 2018 will be more than double. This group includes a dedicated counterterrorism team of former intelligence and law enforcement officials and prosecutors who work in the area of counterterrorism. In other words, there's a revolving door between the technology giants and the state intelligence and police forces, with one increasingly indistinguishable from the other. The technology giants have created an all-pervasive system of censorship in which machines, trained to collaborate with the CIA, FBI, and other U.S. intelligence agencies, are able to flag and block content even before it's posted. Now, this story speaks for itself. There's not much more we need to hear from this because it's pretty damn clear what's happening here. I mean, this all goes back to the idea of intent. So the people behind this are ultimately deciding what is and what is not deemed worthy of censorship. And that is a very alarming fact, especially from what we've seen in recent years. I mean, we are seeing outright attacks from political standpoints, especially since the FBI is involved, and we can see very plainly how partisan the FBI has been recently. So to understand this core value, this is talking about censoring content they do not agree with under the guise of fighting terrorism, as so much is today. This story is very frightening, and it's something that we've all been seeing happen right in front of us. But yet I continue to urge everybody to speak out about this kind of thing and try to support the groups that do not stand behind this kind of censorship. Again, we talk about Steemit and DTube and other kinds of things like BitChute, these groups that do not allow this kind of thing, at least right now. So it's very important that we continue to draw attention to this and do not allow them to carry out this guise of security when it's not something we want to happen. Moving on to the final story of the day, police caught in another lie as authorities finally admit to multiple suspects in Las Vegas massacre. It has been months since the worst shooting in modern history was carried out in Las Vegas, and Americans have been lied to, led astray, and essentially kept in the dark as to what actually went down that tragic evening. Official narratives have shifted like the tide, and despite dozens of lawsuits and media requests, very little information has been conceded by the authorities until now. In a courtroom this week, Las Vegas police contradicted everything they've been saying and admitted that there are multiple suspects in the Vegas shooting. As KVVU reports, inside a district courtroom on January 16th, a lawyer for multiple media outlets argued why information pertaining to the October 1st incident is crucial to helping Las Vegas heal. But the lawyer for Metro Police said that they can't release any information because there are still suspects being investigated. District Court Judge Elisa Kadish asked Metro lawyer Nick Crosby, quote, without naming names, there are potential charges against other people because of the ongoing investigation? Crosby replied, yes, there are charges being investigated. So this is just a very frustrating story. This is a very real false flag psychological operation, in my opinion. But I have been outspoken about the fact that I think it's being used to continue to distract people as they leak out little bits of information here and there without really revealing anything. Now, I think this was accidental completely. I think this was something they kind of backed themselves into a corner with, and now we're seeing very clearly that they are investigating multiple sources. But it's also important to consider the fact that this could be misdirection as well. Just kind of continuing to draw this out with missing. I mean, the point I always make, we know they've lied. That cannot be denied anymore. I mean, right now they're admitting to having contradicting narratives within their own story. So we know that they lied to us. So really, in my opinion, there's not much else we need to see because they're never going to admit the truth to us, especially because they're so clearly involved in what's going on here. I always draw parallel to the JFK story. I mean, we saw even recent, you know, admissions to the information have yet to reveal what really happened. And that's years and years and years later. So I highly doubt we're ever going to fully know what happened here. But it is very clear that the government, the intelligence agencies are wrapped up in this story. Whether or not they were trying to carry something out and it backfired, or they messed something up in the investigation and they're covering for it, we are being lied to. And now they're very clearly saying that they have multiple suspects involved, which is, I mean, it's absolutely absurd that they would not admit this information in the beginning or as soon as they found this out, if this was actually the case. So again, the point is that they lied to us in the story, and we need to continue to stay vigilant with this story specifically and not allow them to continue to lead us astray. I will continue to report on things that pop up in the story such as this that are relevant, that are things that we can prove, that are tangible, that show us that they lied or show us what really happened. Other than that, new tidbits popping up here and there, I tend to feel are irrelevant. But you guys go ahead and send me anything else you find to be important, and we'll continue reporting on it. So for more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sites in the show notes below. And as always, question everything and come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.